There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
If Peter is in Jerusalem, I will find him. He knows who I am.
I'm not the same man you once had reason to hate.
Who did you see?
I saw Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Show me how to kill him.
Take back those words, Caligula, before I open your throat. Do it.
Are you looking forward to your new position in Rome?
Kneel in the presence of your new emperor!
Saul's become a follower of Jesus.
You can't preach the word of Jesus inside the synagogue.
That is exactly what we have to do.
It's going to get us all killed.
It's an excerpt from Sunday night's episode of the television miniseries AD, The Bible Continues, the eighth episode. They're going to go to 12, believe it or not. And, well, at this point, Pastor Ted Giese's been with us for seven running weeks, and we've been reviewing this every week. He says he is offended and insulted by this point, by some of the stuff that's been inserted or left out of this miniseries, allegedly based upon the Acts of the Apostles in the New Testament. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 26th of May. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to review Episode 8 of the TV miniseries AD, The Bible Continues, here with Pastor Ted Giese in the first, half hour of the program. Then Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us. We'll be responding to evangelical proof text today. Acts chapter 2, the first instance of speaking in tongues that we find. It is a gift given to the apostles and the other Christians there on the day of Pentecost, and it continues through the book of Acts here and there. Is it something that continues today? And is it what many Christians, Pentecostal, charismatic Christians actually experience? Are they experiencing the same thing that the apostles did and the other believers in the book of Acts? We'll answer some of those questions as we respond to evangelical proof text. Hour two of Issues, Etc. We'll look forward to Sunday morning. We'll be going through the propers and the readings for this coming Sunday, which happens to be Holy Trinity. That is, the Sunday follows the day of Pentecost by 1 week, where the church observes the doctrine of the Trinity. But it's not just doctrine of the Trinity. It's not just a teaching Sunday. It is a Sunday like every other for the proclamation of Christ in his saving work and setting it in the context of the doctrine of the Trinity. We'll be doing that in hour two of Issues, Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours. Questions or comments are welcome. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, feel free to use the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, whenever, wherever you're listening. Joining us for a review of Episode 8 of the TV miniseries, AD, The Bible Continues, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Now, somebody's been following us along through this whole thing, and your reviews have become, I think it's fair to say, more negative, more critical of what we were getting there on Sunday nights in this miniseries, AD, The Bible Continues. But they're saying, look, you guys are just nitpicking. Shouldn't you just be glad that someone's trying to put some of the Bible on television? What's your response?
I would say I am glad someone's trying to do that. That is true. I am glad for that. There is a quote from Martin Luther where he talks about how he would like to convince all of the rich and powerful people, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, to put on all of the walls and on the outside of all the buildings the story of Scripture. Just have that all over the place. And he's saying that, you know, like the main place that he would like to see pictures of the Last Supper would be over the altar, right? Like that would be a good piece of art for there, but all over the place they should have this. So yeah, I am thankful that they're giving it a shot and they're trying to do this, but It's getting increasingly more difficult to see the point of it, because I'm quite positive that Martin Luther would have wanted it to be accurate when they were portraying all of these things. In fact, I know that that's the case. I've seen things that he's written where he talks about the accuracy of what's being depicted in art has to be there. Now, this stuff is not being made for use inside a congregation. I'm hoping that people aren't going to like show it on a big screen at the front of the church during a worship service. That would be very, very poor choice of a thing to show. Like, that's not the purpose of this. This is something that happens in somebody's house. So you're sitting there, or maybe you're watching it on a tablet or a phone or something like that. So it goes into the category of something that's intended, I think, to be devotional, and then to be probably didactic, to teach something. But unfortunately, or maybe it's being an outreach tool, I don't know. But in all of those three cases, if it's devotional, it's adding a bunch of things that are not scriptural into that devotion. If it's didactic, it's teaching something that isn't actually in scripture, or it's contradicting things, or it's speculating on things unduly, or it's omitting things that are very important. So this is kind of the, you know, maybe it might seem like we're being a little nitpicky, but actually what we're trying to do is we're trying to be very careful about the way in which scripture is handled, and to be faithful. And like, that's what we're doing, like you and I, as we sit down every week and look at this. And if people have been along the way with us for these last now 8 sessions, I want to say, one, thank you for listening, you know, and B, please make sure that if you're watching this show, that you take the time also, you sat for an hour and watched the show, take the same amount of time and grab your Bible and read the section of Acts that they're dealing with, so that with your own eyes, as you read, you can see what the text of Scripture actually says. Because yes, you're getting a little bit of Jesus on your screen, but the Jesus you really want is the Jesus that's in your Bible as you read, and the Jesus that you receive at church on Sunday morning.
So what are your general impressions of Episode 8?
Episode 8 is, I think, like the spot where it's absolutely 100% now proof positive clear that they have a problem with historicity. They have a problem with historicity when it comes to the text of Scripture. They have a problem with historicity when it deals with, Roman history, even. So my impression of it is that they just don't care as much about actual history as they care about telling a story. That is the I think now a really good estimation of what's going on. You don't want to like drop the hammer on that right off the beginning. You want to see where things are going, and I think we are seeing now where things are going. And one of the examples where the historicity part is really off is, again, last week we talked about how Tiberius Caesar shows up in Jerusalem. That's not the sort of thing that happened. I mean, not that he didn't travel, but we don't have that kind of account. He's brought his nephew Caligula with him. This is what the show is presenting, but this is not actually history. So now they've included this as a bit of a yarn. They've added this in. But now the part where things get really, really, really off the rails, because maybe there was an undocumented trip that he took, right? Like, let's just give him the benefit of the doubt there. But now at this point you have Caligula murdering Tiberius. Now, Caligula did murder Tiberius, and everybody was quite happy. Most people were quite happy about that, because Tiberius wasn't loved by everybody. But that happened in 37 AD. And somebody with Google can go, when did Tiberius Caesar die? Search. And they can find out that it happened on March 16th, 37 AD. So what's the big problem with that?
Well, obviously they've taken liberties with the facts.
The really big problem with it is that all of these things are happening within a year of the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. 37 is too late.
So it sounds like what you're saying here, Ted, is that they feel at liberty. No, they feel free to take liberties with the actual story of the Book of Acts by omission, by addition, things like that. Sometimes they even twist around the stories. But now they are taking secular history and injecting facts from a couple of years hence back into the story to make it more interesting. To do what? I mean, why would you displace a well-known, well-established historical fact like that assassination into the context, not only displace it in time, but I think you mentioned in your review, displace it geographically as well. What are they trying to do?
All I can figure is that they just don't think that it is a well-established historical fact, or, which it is, rather, they don't think that people know about it. Right, and granted, a lot of people might not know the year that Tiberius died, but as soon as you just scratch the surface of history, you find that stuff out so quickly that it's a bald-faced misrepresentation. Like that should be fact-checked before they approve the script for the final preparations to make the show. They literally just either don't care or think nobody knows or it's not important, you know. And I would say that Lutherans, particularly confessional Lutherans, are very interested in the historicity of Scripture. We do not want the historicity of Scripture to be misrepresented. And by injecting this alongside Scripture, the way that the history of Scripture unfolds, by injecting that in, you are, you know, causing the waters to be muddied. Like this is an anachronism, is what the term is. It would be like having, I mean, it's only a couple years off, but this stuff is very important to the general unfolding of history. But it's like, to make it a ludicrous example, it would be like having Abraham Lincoln show up. It does not. It's out of time. It did not happen within those couple years. Like, it didn't happen within a year of the crucifixion and resurrection. But the show takes liberties and has it happen.
Well, let's take a break right here. I can think of one other danger of doing this, and we'll talk about it when we come back from the break. It's kind of an apologetic danger. That is, the average person, the average unbeliever maybe, watching this or hearing about this, seeing that the Bible miniseries got this so wrong, and apparently on purpose. I don't know if it's a matter of fact-checking as much as it is, well, it happened at the nearest time. Let's just toss it in. If they get a fact of history, a well-known, well-established fact of history that wrong, then maybe the Bible is just that inaccurate as well. Maybe Christians don't care about whether it happened or not or when it happened. It's just the old, they believe it happened contrary or perhaps without even any facts. We'll get Pastor Ted Giese's thought on that right after this.
The Church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing Episode 8 of AD, The Bible Continues, the television miniseries. Pastor Dick Giese is our guest. What's your thoughts on the idea that I brought up before the break, this notion, kind of the apologetic concern that someone, an unbeliever, hearing that they got this fact of history, displaced both geographically and chronologically, this fact of history so seriously, is going to say, look, either these Christians just don't care about facts, or they don't know enough. And either way, the central core of this message, the book of Acts here, is probably as bogus as their fabricated miniseries history. What are your thoughts there?
I agree. I think that if that's the impression that's getting presented to people, that is a bad impression. Because, you know, there may be some Christians that don't care about, you know, the facts. Don't confuse me with the facts, or don't, you know, if English was good enough for Jesus, English is good enough for me, that kind of thing. You know, but really, that is, it's an apologetic nightmare to be putting this stuff in, particularly if one of the goals of this show is to bring people to a knowledge of Christ. Like, if it's intended to, you know, encourage them in their faith, and to maybe reignite their faith, or maybe draw them back into their faith, or maybe reach out to people who don't have faith, and this is what's going on, where it's like the historicity of it is all off. That is, I think, an apologetics nightmare. So a guy like Craig Partens would love to talk about this with some people, I'm sure. You guys remember him. Listeners, you'll remember having him on Issues, Etc. at different times. I think he's going to be at the Making the Case conference. So, like, really, like, in terms of apologetics, you got to have this stuff nailed down. It would be like having the temple destroyed in 74 A.D. instead of the year that it actually was destroyed in. Like, these are important dates in the life of the church, and in particular, when put alongside Scripture, it's very important to get this stuff right. So, quite apart from all of that, which is growing to be more and more nonsense, all of this kind of Roman intrigue, the other thing is that they still are focusing on parts of Scripture. And one of the things, and you start to see presuppositions coming out more and more clearly, more and more strongly. And I'd like, if it's possible, first to read just the actual section of Acts. So this would be Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 14. And then I think we have a piece of audio. So right after I've read it, we can listen to the section that kind of corresponds with that from the show. And then we'll see, like, listeners can hear me read it, and then we can hear what the actual show has been doing with it. Okay, so here's, is that okay?
That's great.
All right, so Acts chapter 8, starting with verse 14. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
Let the Holy Spirit into your troubled limbs. He brings you eternal life. Have faith in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We pray that all our new believers receive the Holy Spirit. We enter God's kingdom by repentance and faith, by accepting Him in our lives.
All right, what's the contradiction there that you want to point out?
Okay, so the thing that, like, some of that stuff sounds really good. You'll notice in the text of Scripture itself, it doesn't say what's being said. It just says that Peter laid his hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So if you'd watch the show, maybe you're just hearing this audio, but if you'd watch the show, you'll remember, too, that Peter is laying his hands on people, and then the voice you hear is John. So John is with Peter, and John is the one who's speaking. And John is saying some things that you'll recognize. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right out of John's gospel. That's great, right? But again, the text of Scripture doesn't say anything about what is being said. Careful listener will have picked up that part, the very end. The part at the very end was the part where they end up saying, well, John says, and again, this is not what it says in Scripture, but what John says in this AD, the Bible continues, is he says that, you know, that you come to the kingdom of God by repentance and faith, it's not so bad, and by accepting the Lord. So now this word accepting shows up a number of times during this episode. Another thing that happens later in this episode is the conversion, well, it happens during this episode, conversion of Saul to Paul, right, and his baptism. And again, at the baptism portion of the book of Acts, it doesn't say what's being said there, or it doesn't say who's there in attendance or any of that kind of stuff. And again, they use the word accept in there. Careful listener will notice that that word is generally associated with decision theology. So now you see a presupposition of the people who are presenting this coming out, because they don't have any words specific from the book of Acts. So they are writing words for the actors. And when they did that, they are injecting it with decision theology. The other thing in there, too, is as Peter is laying on hands on these people, they're all lame, sick, injured in some way, born with defects, and as they receive the Holy Spirit, deformed arms are being made perfect, right? So the other thing that's going on is kind of a word faith movement kind of approach to the idea of healing. Because now, you know, what happens, now you're sitting at home and you've got cancer and you're watching this. It's like, well, why isn't the Holy Spirit healing me like that? You know, oh, well, maybe I haven't received the Holy Spirit because I haven't accepted the Lord. Right? Like, this is kind of problematic in the whole thing.
It sounds like, well, you said a careful student of Scripture, I think is what you said, something along those lines. It's strange to hear those words. You know, we enter the kingdom of God by repentance and faith, by accepting Him in our lives. I mean, even the casual student of the New Testament might notice that that kind of language, accepting Him in our lives, is completely and utterly foreign to the language of Scripture itself. They could have gone to any other place in the book of Acts and borrowed from Peter or Paul to get more authentic language and especially better theology than their script writers came up for that particular line.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and this is the thing that, you know, just kind of drives me bonkers as I'm sitting there. Like, when Paul, at the end of the episode, is being, Saul, now going to be Paul, is being baptized, and he is being asked by Ananias to accept Jesus, to accept the Lord, I'm thinking to myself, what does Paul, Saul, who is now Paul, end up writing to the Ephesians? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Now some people will say, well, I'm just accepting the gift. Well, grand. But that's not the way that generally comes across. This is patently not the way Scripture puts it out there.
So with about 30 seconds here, how would you summarize your thoughts on so far? We are about two-thirds of the way into this mini-series. How would you summarize your thoughts with about 30 seconds, Ted?
I would just say that I was, disappointed with the way that it presented things this time around. And just like the amount of time they spend on non-scriptural things, and then when they do scriptural things, they don't stick to the book. Maybe if they had just stuck to the book and not been distracted by these other things, they could have, done something that was of high excellence, because the production values are not terrible in this. Some of the acting, although this episode was quite bad, some of the acting is not so bad. I just wish, it's one of those things where you see where they could have gone and then they didn't go there, and it's a disappointment.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.